Once again, to God be the glory. We are so thankful that God has blessed us again to assemble tonight, to assemble and study what thus saith the Lord. We are thankful to God for the opportunity to encourage souls that are outside the ark of safety to come to Jesus, put him on in baptism for the remission of sins, rededicate your life to Jesus, come and ask for prayer, and come and place membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ. We discourage you from leaving here without being on the Lord's side. I'm thankful to the elders, and I'm thankful to the leadership, the very fine membership of this congregation, whenever I'm able to come to Fairview and to encourage souls to obey Jesus Christ. We had a good time this morning. I enjoyed preaching about the hope of glory, and I talked about Jesus Christ. And then for our Sunday school, I talked about the four C's of life from Mark chapter 4. The crisis was the storm. The Christ was on board that took care of the storm. He gave the command, peace be still. And then there was a great calm that took place after Jesus gave that wonderful command. He gives the command to us right now, peace be still, and letting us know that he is in control of everything. Even COVID-19, the Lord is in control. He, through the chief physician, is able to resolve any of the problems we have with this dreaded disease. Not only this, we look at the mystery that was revealed to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. We look at the fact that a hope is a definite trust. It's a definite belief that God is going to do what he says he's going to do when he gives us eternal life if we're obedient to him. It's the earnest expectation, is no doubt in our mind, that God is going to save us if we are obedient to his word. And he sent Jesus as our hope of eternal life. He gave us the Holy Spirit as our seal of proof that he is going to do what he's going to do. Save mankind if we're obedient to his word. And so I encouraged you with Jesus, the hope of glory this morning. I encouraged you with the four C's of life, the command that was given and the great calm that came when Jesus took charge of the crises in our lives. And tonight, I want to bring you a sermon that Brother Christopher Jackson brought to the congregation, November the 24th, 2019, at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street. He talked about, don't forget where you come from. Don't forget where you come from. And he used the book of Titus, chapter 3, and the verses were 1 through 8. And I certainly appreciate the fine reading of God's word by Brother DeVries, and also the beautiful prayer sent up to God on our behalf. The beautiful singing that Brother Spicer gave us and the opportunity to focus on Jesus at this time. Glad to have my wife back with me this evening. I told you she had to transport our son and the technician for music, Trey, to the airport this morning. And I'm glad to know that they landed safely in New York. And then from there, Lord's willing, tomorrow around 3:45, they should be touching down in Accra, Ghana. So they'll be there for about 2 weeks working and encouraging some of the music that will take place in that country that's good and wholesome. Now, in the book of Titus, if you turn your attention to it, I want you to know that Paul is writing to those who are in Crete, and he has sent Titus to Crete. to set in order those things that were lacking. So his epistle, the epistle of Paul, is written to the apostle Titus, who's going to give information to Crete. In this particular book, our beliefs about God is impacting every decision that we make in life. We look at the beautiful decorations that have taken place, setting our minds towards Christmas, Christ, and his birth. I looked at all the beauty that was displayed, even the red and the different Christmas ties and everything this morning, the beautiful dresses and the beautiful sweaters and et cetera that were announcing Christmas is coming. But I want you to know that Paul lets us know that we should never forget where we came from and that we should always center not only at this time of the year on the birth of Christ, but throughout the year, we ought to turn our attention towards Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in coming and dying on Calvary for the sins of mankind, being obedient to God Almighty. Paul, talking to Titus and charging him, sent Titus to Crete to set in order the things that were lacking. And one thing that was lacking was elders in every city, in every church. Not only were elders lacking, but living properly, living like God wants people to live, was missing in Crete. If you look at Titus chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The Bible says to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that were wanting, to ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Then he talks about the qualifications of elders. And he lets us know the importance of elders in the church to help us to understand from whence we've come. He sets elders in the church to remind us of how we ought to live and how we ought to conduct our lives in harmony with the word of God. He says, and when I'm appointing elders, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, they have faithful children, not accused of riot or unruliness. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, for a bishop or an elder must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not angry, not given to wine, not ready to strike out and fight all the time, not given to filthy lucre or money, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both exhort and convince the gainsayers. Paul is telling the young man Titus, I left you in Crete to find those who would be able to help each and every one in the congregations to live a life that's in harmony with the word of God so that heaven can be their home. If you were to also go to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. You would find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you would go on finding in the book of 1 Timothy the importance of, once again, living in harmony, and bishops and deacons helping us to stay loyal to the Word of God. In that book, you find the qualifications for not only bishops or elders, but the qualification for deacons who assist in carrying the Word of God, who assist in the work within the church, who carry out so many of the works that the elders have ordained or the elders have approved of. So they are helpers to the elders, to the members of the Lord's church, so that we in the church will not forget where we have come from. Paul left Titus in Crete, and Paul left the young man Timothy to speak to those in Ephesus and to help each and every one of them in the early portion of the establishment of the church. Our beliefs about God impacts every decision we make. And Titus helps us to understand how we ought to live and conduct ourselves every day of our lives. Familiar sayings that we need to be reminded of, and where we've come from spiritually, and what Jesus Christ has done for us, is given to us in the book of Titus. Also to the Ephesian brethren, the same thing is given. And Timothy talked to those that were in Ephesus. Titus talked to those who were in Crete. And look at what the Bible says in Titus chapter 3. And the verses are 1 through 8. Beautifully read into your hearing. Paul tells Titus, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey the laws of the magistrates, to be ready unto every good work. Paul reminds those in Crete to speak evil of no man, to not be a brawler, not be a fighter, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves, and this is something that we seem to forget, we have been guilty of some of the same things that are being illustrated or pointed out in Titus 3 and verse 3. We ourselves were sometimes foolish. We ourselves were sometimes disobedient. Paul tells those in Crete through Titus, you were sometimes deceived, serving your own lusts, numerous lusts and pleasures. You were living in malice and envy, hateful, and you were hating one another. But after that, the kindness of and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. God so loved man that he sent his only son, John 3:16, Jesus. God looks out and sees what we are guilty of, sees all of these evils that man somehow gets wrapped up in. And God says, I love man. I don't want man to be destroyed in hell's fire. I don't want man to lose his soul. I want man to be saved. And I'm talking generically, men and women. I want everybody to be saved. And I'm going to send Jesus Christ to remind people of how much I love them. And I want them to live in that love, not by the works of righteousness, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, which we have done, but according to his mercy, unmerited favor. God saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being just as if we have not sinned, by being justified by his grace, his unmerited favor, We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and they are profitable. Paul gives Titus the affirmation of purpose in Titus chapter 3. He looks at the importance of Paul's teaching. And the Bible lets me know that Titus says what has been preached is faithful, is in accordance with the word of God. It can be affirmed constantly by God himself sending Jesus. It's truth, and it's truth that we can attend to, and we can look within the word of God and know that this is truth. When you look at the wind, you don't know where you can't see the wind. You don't know from whence it's come, but you do know and you feel that wind. You can see the effects of that wind. Look at the tornado that touched down in Kentucky. Look at the way that wind came to Nashville. There has got to be a God who's in control of this universe. Look at how we continue to have the seasons, summer, winter, spring, and fall. Look at how things continue to fall into place, one thing after another. That's an affirmation that God is on the throne. And he sent Jesus, and he sent the Holy Spirit so that we can better understand the word of God, so that we can understand the truths of God's word and live within the truths of God's word. We don't have to worry so much about, oh, how in the world can I keep the commands of God? How in the world can I do this? How in the world can I do that? God sent the Holy Spirit as a comforter to help us to understand his word. And that's what Titus is telling those in Crete. The importance of Paul's teaching, the faithful sayings of Paul, the constant affirmation that God is on the throne, and the ability of us to maintain good works. If we don't forget where we've come from, we'll get involved more and more with good works. We need to be involved more and more with good works. Not just at Christmas time. I received a number of presents from this congregation this morning, and I thank God for that. Even tonight, I thank God for it. Some of them were sweets that I will digest at different times, and I'm looking forward to that. Other types of things were given to us, but not just at this time of the year. We ought to always be given something throughout the year that lets people know we love the Lord. When you look at what happened in Kentucky and the Churches of Christ disaster relief, immediately all kinds of relief was given to those in Kentucky and those in Waverly and those in Tennessee and throughout where disasters have come. There are so many people that say, well, I don't quite believe in the Churches of Christ disaster relief because they don't have this and they don't have that and they're not doing this, they're not doing that. They may not be under elders. They may not. They are involved in good works. And those good works are so important that the world needs to see that the Lord's church is first and last in comforting and helping those who are in need. When I look at all of the different denominational ministers and their ministries, they are really outdoing the Churches of Christ in the efforts to dig wells in Africa, in the effort to send relief to victims that have been recipients of all types of tragedies, all types of things that have caused them to be discomforted in this particular world in which we live. when I see the different illnesses and I see the different works to try and relieve those illnesses, to try to find some type of relief, some type of cure, I see us being beaten, and I see us perhaps falling behind in our endeavors to assist those that are in need. If we are not forgetful of where we've come from, we will see the importance of being involved in things that affirm constantly our belief in Jesus Christ. We will be careful to maintain good works, important works. And somebody says, well, we can't outdo a congregation that's of 1,000, 2,000, or 10,000, or 20,000. We can do what we can do. And the race is not to the swift. It's to the ones that endure. We have to get involved, and we have to have some type of effort that lets those around the world know that we are certainly maintaining good works, and we're not forgetting from where we've come from. Sometimes we don't see individuals who have different afflictions in life on television. We see the movie stars that are very handsome. We see the young ladies that are very pretty. We see the folks who can move around and get around and do all kinds of things. They are very agile. But we don't see individuals who have physical difficulties on television very much. But they are there, and they're in need. They're in need. And many hospitals have developed a relief effort where parents can come and be with those, especially children, who have afflictions, cancer especially, deformities, all kinds of difficulties. And they have helped those parents to come at no cost and be with their children or be with their loved ones. These kinds of works are important to let people know that we are maintaining good works as members of the Lord's church. Well, those people ought to do this and those people ought to do that. Were it not for the grace of God, we could be in the same predicament. When I look at that little yellow line out there on that highway, and I think about the fact that I come and go almost every day on the correct side of that yellow line, sometimes I see individuals who are over that yellow line. And as I watch them over that yellow line, I try my best to move as far as I can away from that yellow line to maintain my life. But suppose they keep coming and they keep coming. Were it not for the grace of God, they suddenly awake and move back on their side. Or were it not for the grace of God, I move as far as I can and are able to get by them. But I could be in the same predicament as some individuals who are not able to care for themselves in this world. It's the grace of God that helps us to have a roof over our head, to have food on our table, to have clothes on our back. So don't ever look down on individuals who don't have what we have. A lick to the head can very easily put you in a predicament where you don't even know what your name is, who your family is, or anything else. God is blessing us, and we have to maintain good works. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says, this is a faithful saying, things that I will that thou affirm. Paul tells Titus, I want you to preach this. I want you to tell folks constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then he looks at Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. And he says there in Titus 2 and verse 14, Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. It's very important that we maintain good works. We're going to have to learn to be known as good workers in the Lord's church. We can't constantly be going around calling ourselves able to determine who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. That's up to God. And if you get to heaven and you see somebody in heaven that you didn't think should be there, what's your choice? Stay or go? I'm going to stay. It's not my heaven. It's God's heaven. And he can save anyone he wants to. So rather than debating and constantly fussing and fighting in the Lord's church, we need to be involved in working. We need to realize from whence we've come, and don't forget where we've come from and how we've gotten what we've received. It's the grace of God that's gotten us as far as we have gone. We're recipients of that grace. We don't need to be arguing over whether or not we should have cushioned pews, over whether or not we should have a cloth over the communion table, whether or not we should sing one song, three songs, two songs, whether or not the communion should be first, or whether it should be last, or whether we should be doing this, or whether we should be doing that. We got a lot of fussing and arguing and fighting going on in the church over trivial matters that matter not to God, but to man. And as a result, the world is beating us in doing what is necessary to bring souls to Jesus Christ. How in the world am I going to listen to Jesus when I'm hungry? You got all these people, 5,000 people, and Jesus says to his disciples, feed them. And we don't have anything to feed them with. How in the world can we feed them? Jesus says, well, I can feed them. What have you got there? Bring those fish to me and bring those loaves to me and watch me feed all these people and have a multiple of supply left, because I am the Lord God. I am Jesus Christ. And these people need to be fed before they can listen to me. I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to teach and they're hungry. Have you ever had somebody teaching and you're tired? You've been working 12, 14, 15 hours and you come to service and you need some relief. If you're coming and hungry, you know, I haven't had breakfast and I didn't get to eat dinner last night, and you're going to listen to me? Or you're homeless, you don't have anywhere to go, and you're listening to me, and then when I get through talking, you don't even know where you're going to put your head down at night. You don't even know where you're going to have the next coat. And it's cold outside. It was warm yesterday. It was up there in the 70s almost. And then all of a sudden it dropped down. And I don't have a coat. And this man is up here talking about how wonderful it is to be a child of God and how we are comforted. I'm not comforted. I'm cold. Jesus fulfilled the people's needs. And after he fulfilled their needs, he taught them the message of God, and people listen and people obey. We've got to do more of that in the Lord's church. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul tells Titus, put them in mind, not just to appoint elders in every city, but put them in mind to be subject to the principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to stop being a brawler, stop being all ready to get riled up and to fight, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, subject to rulers, authorities, obey, be ready to good work, speak evil of no man, peaceable, gentle, showing all meekness to all men. That is important. That is important. That is necessary. We're finding right now in the school system in Metro that we are having numerous fights, gang fights. We're seeing that this is because of COVID, that some of this is happening. People have been home, and now all of a sudden they're thrust back into a school environment. And we're seeing a lot of cultural differences ending up in fights, group fights. Group fights are not just when one person fights another, but when two or three or four or five, six or seven, nine or 10 or 11 join in and they just tear the school apart with fighting, fights, one right after another. Why? Why is this? Why is it that folk can't get along? Why is it congregations can't get together and be together and have a type of unity and display that the world can see and the world wants to be a part of it? I want to be a part of that congregation. I want to be a part of the Church of Christ. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of that. It's because of contentions. It's because of fights, disputes. Paul left Titus in Crete to remind those that were like this to learn how to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Wow. Titus chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Look at what the Bible says here. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow beliefs or bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith." The Cretans are liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Rebuke them, Paul told Titus, and help them to be in sound faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, but help them to turn to the truth. We're going to have to remember from whence we've come and turn people back to the truth of God's word. And we're going to have to live truthfully. We're going to have to live what we preach. People have told me that they want to see a sermon rather than hear a sermon. They want to see if I'm truly a child of God. When I took over as the principal of a school in Goodlettsville, I was standing before the faculty and I was teaching them something that was important to make them even better teachers. Now, I looked back in the back and there was a man who had a newspaper out and he was reading the newspaper while I was having a faculty meeting. He was an older man and I could tell that he had probably been in the system over 30 some years. And probably spent those 30 years right there at Goodlettsville. But he just had that paper open. Every now and then he would look over the top of the paper. And then he'd look back down in the paper. Then he'd look over to the side of the paper. And he'd look back down in the paper. And when I got through, he came to me. He said, "Son, come here. I want to tell you something." He was listening, but it didn't look like it. He said, "You know what? I like you. I'm going to show you something." Took me into the room and he moved a piece of furniture and he said, "Now this is the cutoff valve to the sprinkler system. One day you're going to need this cutoff valve." I thought to myself, "For real?" Well, one day one of those little rascals in the school decided to get the sprinkler system running. And they did whatever was necessary to heat up the sprinkler system. And it started pouring water everywhere. And we had just gotten a new floor on the gymnasium.
hundreds of thousands of dollars right there on that floor, and the renovation of that whole gym. And it was just getting destroyed. And I remember the man said there was a cutoff valve behind a piece of furniture in this little room, and I ran to it and cut that valve off and stopped all that water. We called the local fire department. They came out, and they were able to get all that water up, and it came right back down to one man saying, "I like you." He also let me know that in teaching, no one had been to his room to observe what he was doing. And he said, "You're the only one that's come. You're the only one that's looked in to see if I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I like you." Don't you know that the world would do a whole lot more in becoming a child of God if simply individuals who are outside the ark of safety could look at us as children of God and say, "I like you. I like what you're doing." We don't need to be fussing and fighting and tearing up congregations over this and over that and not being a part of unity in the Lord's church. We need to be loving, and we need to be loved by the world so that the world would come to Jesus. Don't forget from where you came. We used to be brawlers and fighters and individuals who were doing this and doing that. But now God has helped us to love one another. And Paul tells Titus to put the Cretans in mind of all of this. Don't forget from whence you've come. We ourselves, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But God. Isn't it beautiful that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to reunite us to him? But God. Isaiah 53, verse number 6. But God, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Jesus Christ. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Taken from prison and from judgment, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people were he stricken. That's Jesus Christ. Remember his love for us. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Again, listen to the word of God in Titus 3, 5 through 8. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being just as if we never sinned, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul tells Titus to tell the Cretans, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou tell constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain these good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. In verses 5 through 8, we find the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man having appeared. In John chapter 1 and verse number 1, we again see the beauty of Jesus Christ. And we should never forget from whence we've come. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
verses 14 through 17, and the word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The kindness, the love of God, not by works of righteousness, but because of mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration, the new birth, Jesus dying on Calvary. John chapter 3 and verse number 3. The Bible says in John 3:3 through 5, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Again, the Bible says that you must be born not of the flesh, but born spiritually. In the Bible, it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, after Peter and the rest of the apostles had preached the word of God, men and brethren cried out, what must we do in order to be saved? Peter said unto them, repent. The Romans and the Jews cried out, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The renewing of the Holy Ghost shed abundantly through Jesus Christ. We were made justified by his grace. We were made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Don't ever forget that from whence we've come. Don't ever forget that we were in sin and God loved us so much that he saved us. Don't ever forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not all about gifts. It's not all about how Santa Claus can do this and Santa Claus can do that and his reindeer can fly and he can come down chimneys and all of this. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus born came to this earth and died so that we might have life, have it more abundant. Through obedience to his word, we can be saved. Come to Jesus tonight. Jesus, here before the world began, Jesus proclaimed to take away the sins of mankind. The Bible says that Jesus treats us just as if we have never been lost when we're obedient to his word. Justified. Jesus gives us glory when we are obedient to him. This is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. A glorified body, not of flesh and blood. We come through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. You have that opportunity, but don't ever forget what Jesus, what God, what the Holy Spirit does for each one and every one of us. And don't forget from whence we've come and how we were, but how we are after receiving Jesus as our personal Savior. Come as we together stand and sing in the song of invitation.